Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hear ye, it's the Swolecast with your guest host, King Coakley. And we got to keep this short as people have hard outs, but today we will be going down week 5. We will be doing another Dog Bowl draft over on Underdog. But let's get into it. The Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
Can you hear the static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Just live a little, guys.
Welcome, everybody, to the Swolecast. As we said at the top, I am covering for Soccer Dave, and I just want the three of you guys to know how much it breaks my heart every time I see StreamYard ruin my open by not rendering it properly. But I am here with Peter Overzet. How are you doing today, Pete?
I'm doing good. It's nice to have a competent host here on the with the hands on 10-2 on the wheel. So we appreciate you, Rob. Looking forward to a really efficient show. Tuttle has a legitimate heart out. We have a draft to get to, a lot of ground to cover. You are the man to steer us through these uncharted waters.
I will do my best to do so. Tuttle, it is our first show together. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm liking the vibe. It's much more soothing, I think, than Soccer Dave. I like the tone that you're bringing. Doesn't make me feel anxious or anything like that. So I'm happy to have you on.
And Davis, you're sweating some soccer with, as we were talking about pre-show, how's that going for you?
It's going good. Got some good teams going in Champions League right now. I just, I just feel light. I feel free right now knowing that the three of us are not going to have to corral you into getting this show in the right direction. I dare say there is a chance that this is the most actionable Swolecast in Swolecast daily fantasy history. I mean, we got some pretty good best ball shows, you know, Soccer Dave literally driving the ship blindfolded, but I'm pretty excited for the show today.
We're going to jump into Overzet's overview in a second, but before we do, real quick, are you guys familiar with the Reddit thread, Am I the A-hole? Have you guys heard of that?
Of course. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make me the A-hole if I haven't heard of it?
No, but basically what people do is they post a real-life situation, and they want to know if they're the person that's being the A-hole in the situation or if it's the other people. And I was scrolling through it, and I found one totally unrelated to the show. It was titled, Wife Says I'm Ruining My Family's Vacation. And the body of this one says, My wife and I are away on vacation with our kids. I'm an ambassador in the fantasy sports industry and I'm pretty well known. On at least one occasion in the past, I was recognized while at Disney with the family and the fan asked me for a photo. I didn't want this to become a thing that would ruin my family's vacation. I decided that as soon as someone looked in my direction, I would just stop and introduce myself quickly and take a photo with them without them having to ask. I even take the photo with the staff of any restaurant we eat at and mark the spot on the wall with a Sharpie as to where I'd like them to hang said photo. My wife says I'm ruining our vacation. I say I'm trying to streamline the fan interaction so our family has more time to enjoy the vacation. Am I the a-hole? What do you guys think of that?
I mean, I hope that this is a little piece of serendipity, that this is in no way a troll, and that Soccer Dave actually posted that on Reddit. It would be, that'd be a top five moment in the history of the show.
I mean, who's to say? It might be already deleted, but I kind of came across it and thought we would throw it out there.
I would not be shocked if there was ever a scandal where it was like revealed that Soccer Dave went up to a stranger and said, hey, can we take this photo? Then sent him the photo, slipped him a $100 bill, said, will you tag me on Twitter at Soccer Dave and say you bumped into me at this location? I think we're getting close to that.
I would not find that unreasonable. So we'll let the people in the comments let us know if they think that was Soccer Dave. Do they think it was somebody else? But in the meantime, Mr. Peter Overzet, can you get us into the Overzet's overview?
Got that dog in her butt! Got that dog in her butt! Overzet overview! Come on!
All right, Sosa, get me full screen here. It's time I earn my keep when I submit my time log on the Swolecast. As you guys all know, David Kitchen is out this week. He's suffering from an extended erection that won't go away after Derrick Henry threw a pop pass touchdown in week 4. So we are praying for David and his Derrick Henry erection that just will not go away. All jokes aside, I'm told he's actually working right now on his weekly newsletter, Cavish, that now hasn't issued a new post in over a month, despite promising us consistent posts. It would appear the Bored Ape Shoe Yacht Scandal was too much for him to overcome. Rest in peace to the Cavish newsletter by David Kitchen. We did all do rock, paper, scissors to see who got to say hear ye in his absence. And Tuttle won the best out of 35 series. So Tuttle, if you want to give the people what they want, the floor is yours.
Hear ye.
Congratulations, Tuttle. You absolutely crushed it. Put that in the new intro. The Swolecast Twitter account yesterday released a hype video using one of the hottest, most topical memes possible. Walter White and Jesse Pinkman high-fiving each other from the 2008 hit TV show Breaking Bad. Shout out to the Swolecast media.
I thought Sosa crushed that one, actually.
That wasn't me.
I thought it got me hyped up too. It was nice to remember that show from almost 2 decades ago. Davis Maddock spent a good chunk of his afternoon yesterday resurfacing an old anti-Dalvin Cook tweet and replying to all of the idiots in his mentions who questioned his clairvoyance about Dalvin Cook being washed. Davis, there's just gotta be a better way to spend your time, man. There's gotta be.
Is there? What do I got to, Pete, what do I have to be doing, brother?
You're getting those friend tech keys value boosted, man. Come on. All right.
Friend tech might be dead. The crypto environment might have already moved on to literally anything else. We might already be there.
You took too much ETH out of the ecosystem and over to So Rare, man. You got to buy other people's keys, support the eco.
I still don't know how to withdraw. You have to use like a layer two. I mean, it's a mess. Everything on Ethereum is so stupid.
There we go. Speaking of Dalvin Cook, though, Evan Silva is back making content after a little health scare. You guys thought there would be a joke there? You guys are monsters. No, I'm just happy that Evan Silva is back after a health scare. Although he did follow up his tweet with a Tim Tebow video, so that kind of undid whatever goodwill was coming back his way. And finally, special shout out to Rob Coakley for being here today. He thinks he's here to fill in for David Kitchen, but he's actually here to face a firing squad for a 0% Devontae Adams fade in best ball.
Oh,
Rob, tell the people how that's going for you.
You guys don't understand that this wasn't a week one thing. This was a prophecy. Have I not laid out the full prophecy for you guys of what was going to happen?
No, I'm. You know what?
Vito, you can go back.
Just had a 15-target game with Aiden O'Connell. Whatever the thought process was on fading him, I'm giving it an F minus.
You haven't even. We're going to stop the Fox News interventions real quick and let me get my point out here and tell you what the actual prophecy was. The Devontae Adams prophecy is actually fulfilling. And the prophecy was the Raiders are incompetent, which check that box, right? Raiders are incompetent. Quarterback play was going to be questionable. That's happening. He was going to start chirping before the trade deadline. That's happening. At the trade deadline, he's not going to get dealt. He's going to stay with the Raiders. And then by week 13, 14, we're going to see the phantom injury for Devontae Adams. They're going to shut him down to figure out what they're going to do with him next season. That was always the Devontae Adams prophecy. It is fulfilling, sir. And I will walk on water at the end of the season when it comes true.
That's some good copium. I'm getting a second degree high from that copium over here.
I still don't allow it. I still veto it. It's still bad.
It's accurate. You'll see at the end of the year.
All right, Rob, back to you. Overzet's overview has concluded.
All right. So we have a hard out for Tuttle. Let's jump into week 5 immediately. We need to make these people some money. Did you guys have a good week 4, by the way? Did anyone make any money in week 4? I know you min-cashed again, Pete.
I had
a great week 4. I finally almost binked a couple tournaments. That was great. So let's keep it rolling in week 5, where this is the week that I am definitely going to lose money. Started looking at some of these matchups, and I'm going to play Joe Burrow and go broke on some sort of injury team, I think.
That's what I did last week.
The Joe Burrow angle is the people are stupid. Obviously a guy who's demonstrated some ceiling to Higgins is either not going to play or going to be questionable. He's down to Jamar Chase and something called Tanner Hudson, you know, kind of as his primary weapons. You know, I mean, I will want to see what the Sims say a little bit closer. My guess, and the thing that I really have learned, especially as we continue to have, you know, one game in every slate that basically has a total above 50 and then a bunch between 44 and 48, is that people actually are just not playing the chalk enough, and that not being thoughtful about the way they're playing the chalk. Because the headline for this week is the Kansas City Minnesota game. It's the only game I believe with a total above 48. We have a 50, but with Philadelphia and Los Angeles. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the market does if Cooper Kupp returns. I mean, that's probably the most interesting thing. Is, are people going to be splitting? You know, does Nacua's projected ownership get nuked? What is Cooper Kupp at 8,600 probably playing on a pitch count? Like, that's actually a fairly interesting spot where if you have a read, or if there, you know, if we get, a little bit of inside information or something like that, or we get Jay Glazer. How do you guys feel about this? That Glazer is not tweeting the scoops. He's just saying the scoops on TV. So then you have to secondhand hear it from Levitan or like your buddy in Discord who happens to be watching CBS. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that from Mr. Glazer.
He's got to be getting the bag to do that, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Yes.
Power to him.
I mean, who... who, if anyone, Jay Glazer is a genius. What do you get from a little bit of X clout? This guy is probably getting paid an extra $5 million bonus to keep all of his stuff exclusive. No amount of impressions are going to cover that. Here, I'll say this. Why? There's no need to play Joe Burrow this week. If you want access to the Bengals, just play Jamar Squeaky Wheel Chase, and then play CJ Stroud, play Jared Goff, play one of these guys who aren't hurt, who are in better game environments and have a better set of weapons.
I mean, Chase is going to be 20% owned in single entry contests. I mean,
but what production outside of Chase are you worried about missing out on if you play Burrow?
Hudson probably, in terms of, because the tight end position has been so dust that if Tanner Hudson goes 4 receptions for 37 yards and a touchdown, he actually, no irony, might be the guy you need to win in week 5.
So yeah, that's the issue though, right? That's kind of the issue though with Burrow stacks, right? We know who everyone's stacking him with.
Yeah. Well,
so you really have to get
have we so evolved into Simbros that we're done doing the bringbacks? Because if we aren't, and we are doing bringbacks, there is a fairly interesting debate between who do you prefer, Marquise Brown at 5,000 or Michael Wilson, he of 2 touchdowns and 25% exposure for myself.
Michael Wilson's going to be very, very popular this week.
Yeah, I think that is correct. Yeah, I think
how many
right.
times I mean, do we get a sub 4K wide receiver that flashes that kind of 2 touchdown ceiling, and now you like you said, people are going to want to play Chase. He is,
well, Wandale, I don't know if you've noticed, Wandale is the dead min there, partner.
Oh, I've noticed. My GPP shell might have Achan and Wandale already locked.
I very rarely go 100% on a player. I did go 100% on Achan last week. I think I will play Wandale on every team I play this week.
Yeah, Wilson's not going to be as high owned as you guys initially think, I think, because of that.
So,
because of Wandale pulling it away?
Wandale's pulling some. I just ran some initial, but you know my
Calvin Austin, Josh Downs.
Let's
tell Roblox Davis before he has to leave.
Yeah, I mean, geez. he just named all the guys I was going to name. But
I thought Jameson Williams was going to be a little bit cheaper coming back this weekend. He's already at 4K, so I was a little disappointed in that.
Do you like paying 4K for one deep target and then a bunch of pouty looks on the Detroit Lions bench as Marvin Jones Jr. blocks?
I just said I want to play Joe Burrow. Clearly, I'm a masochist.
I want to run as hot as or pure as Liam. At one point, do you guys remember last year he came on to tout Jameson Williams? The guy ran like 11 routes and got a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, that was his only catch of the season, Tuttle. Liam touted his one.
That's just the entire Liam experience. It defies all laws and probabilities and everything that we know to be true in this world.
All right, Coakley.
I was going to say, are you guys – can you get up to Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts this week, or is high price quarterbacks dead? Is that dead?
No, Hurts is the opposite of dead, because the slappies, let me tell you, buddy, the slappies cannot wait to play Kirk Cousins. I think that I'm looking at early ownership stuff right now. This early ownership is wrong. It is very wrong. Kirk Cousins is going to be bigly, bigly owned in daily fantasy sports contests this weekend.
I don't really. So the price gap though from Hurts to Mahomes to then the next tier, which is Cousins, isn't as wide as we typically see in the spot like this. Like Richardson's
up to
7K now.
Who's the quarterback? Who's the quarterback that people are playing? I mean, Richardson, obviously, after like people are just totally sold on Anthony Richardson, but I don't think there's a real big appetite. I think the Tua stuff's interesting this week because I don't think there will be as much of an appetite to jam Dolphins in. I think people will be playing Achan as opposed to doing the passing game, because we're just reacting to what we just most recently saw, which is Tyreek and Waddle busting. And Achan, I mean, this will be the week Achan gets 5.5 points or whatever, you know, doesn't just score on one of his 6 touches. And the Giants have just been so putrid, there's no thought that they're going to be pushing them. My preferred quarterback play, Pete already hit it, is I think Stroud looks pretty good right now.
Just real quick on the Vikings thing with the Cousins ownership. I mean, he looked awful last week, had those back-breaking, you know, pick 6. You really think he's going to be steamy just because people want access to this game?
yeah, people are just looking at this game and they're saying the way to play it. I mean, like, let's just look. I don't even know. So let's go Cousins, Jefferson. Let's even put Kelsey in here. Let's put Wandale in there. Let's put Michael Wilson in there. Just to see.
Well, yeah, you already said salary. It. If you want to do those guys, you got to get two punt plays in and a cheap tight end to make that.
But people
work.
Are, I think people are fine with that. Let's go Rams defense. I mean, you've got like, these are reasonable lineups with that construction, two cheap wide receivers, Kelsey, Jefferson, Cousins, Achan, and a cheap defense. You have about 5,400 left for a running back and for a flex. I think that is a construction people will chase after.
But doesn't that make it the reason to go to Mahomes this week if everyone's going to be chasing the cousin side of this?
Well, I mean, see, what I'm going to do.
You guys are off on this, though. It's going to be Hurts and Mahomes soaking up like 30%-ish ownership, I think. And then it's going to 3%.
I mean, I can see that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play Rashi Rice. I've got a gut feeling that this is, I mean, his routes have already expanded and he's 3,600. I don't think he will get any higher, Pete, than what? 8% ownership. Even that seems high on him, given that Wandale and Michael Wilson are right there. Rashi's 3,600 on DraftKings, but that's how I'm playing it. I'm going to play Mahomes and Rice this week.
Well, I regret to inform you that it's the MVS yearly explosion game this week against the Minnesota Vikings. So I will be playing Rice. I will be playing Mahomes, but I'll also be playing MVS with like a Jefferson bring back most likely on one of my single entry teams.
What about running it back with the two mid-tier rushing quarterbacks who smashed last week, Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields? Tuttle, what do you think of those guys?
Ask the question again. Sorry, I'm getting grilled about a CFB projection being off.
Can you go back to Richardson and Fields, who both looked good last week?
Yeah, I don't think so. Richardson, do you think people will pay 7K for him in this spot? I think that's the big question mark. There's not. It's kind of the same thing with Cousins to me. I don't think there's a big enough change in price point between Hurts and Mahomes, where people are going to be like funneling a guy like Richardson in. That's just my
people will play. People will play Richardson naked, I think, or with downs or whatever. But I think the people have been sold on Richardson. He's basically being projected like he is Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's projected for between 23 and 25 points, depending on where you're looking. You know, although we do have combating narratives here that no one can run against Tennessee or can quarterbacks run against Tennessee. Also, I mean, another unspoken thing here is like theoretically Jonathan Taylor can be activated for this game. I don't know if he will be, but he can be. And what would that do to Richardson's projection?
Okay, this was also some of my confusion here with Pete's question. And I'm going back and forth.
Oh, Fields on Thursday. Sorry, I forgot. In
so
the
I was like scrolling through my player pool
from all games to 1 p.m.
Yeah, no. So I'm going to go ahead and say Fields won't be owned on the main slate this Sunday.
We're such a comprehensive show that I got to get my showdown peeps, you know, set up for tomorrow. You know, so I'm
you know
just
who
doing
you know who the
look.
Number one points per dollar quarterback is?
Sam Howell.
No, Ryan Tannehill is the number one points per dollar quarterback. Sam Howell is again our Thursday night game.
The aggregate stuff I'm running actually has Daniel Jones as the guy. And
I saw him that. Popping.
I could see people go that way. Nah, I ain't doing that.
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? Between the and this is what's always tough is figuring out what the field's actually gonna do versus what those in our little DFS niche with projections are gonna do. Because the guys that are just following projections will play Daniel Jones. Like, that's going to happen. But the general public's like, this guy sucks. We can't play him.
They need to know ball. They need to know ball and know that it's not happening.
The ball bros aren't throwing him in there.
If I was a ball knower, I would tout Josh Dobbs at 5,200 after 12 rushing attempts last week. I don't think I can actually do that with my own money. But that is, I think, a ball knower bro would say you do a little Josh Dobbs, Michael Wilson, Jamar Chase, Zach Ertz team.
We should mention the comment you just flashed about Zach Wilson, 4,900 against a historically bad Broncos defense. People are already, you know, frothy to play Breece Hall after this quote about him not being on a pitch count, even though the subsequent part of that quote was Robert Saleh saying, but there's a lot of other guys we want to get touches to. But setting that aside, does anyone have the stomach for Zach Wilson, who looked surprisingly competent against the Chiefs on Sunday night, at this price tag?
It's like one of the least fun I've ever had watching a football game was watching Zach Wilson, just like being scared of Zach Wilson beating my team on Sunday night football. I was just like, this has the potential to go bad. I just, that feels like such FPS, right? Because he's got no rushing upside. You know, like what is his max ceiling in points? I guess maybe if the high price guys smash and that's who you need and the cheap wide receivers bust, I can see it. But that ultimately feels like FPS to me. Like, I didn't play Aiden O'Connell in any tournaments last week.
Yeah, but can we one off Garrett Wilson, though? If everyone's going to go to Breece Hall and we don't want to play Zach Wilson, we can one off Garrett and feel real good about that, I think.
For sure.
Conklin, too. Conklin's getting targets out there if you're just looking for a cheap tight end.
Yeah, it's weird to have a host that actually like knows strategy, DFS strategy,
or just like knows
leverage
the players,
knows like who's playing who, like what the salaries are. Sort of, I mean, G Wilson, he's gonna be pretty owned at 6,000, right? After a 13 target game, I mean, Broncos like. I wonder, I haven't ran any optos yet, but I'm wondering if people play him in cash, actually.
Yeah.
Early return, he's like 14-15% range. I think what we'll get, though, is we'll have people not want to play two people from the Jets. And so then you have the fighting between who's going to be higher owned between Wilson and Breece.
I will say early, it looks like you need a $5,400 running back more than you need a $6,000 wide receiver. So that probably tilts it. Let's build a DK team, right? We got to get Tuttle out of here. Let's build the DraftKings team. Coakley, you're the honorary guest. You can have the first selection here.
And by the way, for people following along at home, we will be entering this into the 5K. This is a new one this week. The 5-hour energy. Football challenge, 5-hour energy football challenge, big free roll on DraftKings. Don't do me, bro.
All right. Well, why don't we just get the stack out of the way and let's go with Mahomes, and I'll be nice and let's do Rashee Rice with it.
Wow. Wow.
MVS is the correct play, but you know, I'm trying to build bonds here on the Swolecast today.
The host immediately making a good plus EV decision. Just really unbelievable stuff. Peter, why don't you go next?
All right. I want to, let's see how we're going to play this. Let's do, I forget it. I'm putting in Puka. I still think Puka is too cheap for his role. I'm going to continue to chase this up. I know it sounds like Cooper Kupp might play, but when you actually listen to the way the Deanna Russini has been reporting stuff from the team, it seems like they don't really want to rush him back, and it's Cooper Kupp just like pounding the table wanting to play. But regardless, I still love this spot, one of the best totals on the week, and Puka's just so fucking good. I'm going to keep playing him until he's 8,500.
Well, if Kupp is active for this game, Peter, you are going to get, I mean, this might be the lowest ownership, like what, sub 5% on him if Kupp is active here, probably. Like, he's going to get nuked in the projections. I am going to select my boy, Wandale Robinson, $3,000 against the Miami Dolphins. He starts with a floor of 8 points, and then whatever you get from there is just, it's just a bonus.
I was going to take that free square. You stole the free square for me. I'll go with the Breece Hall then.
All right. Well, I'll
follow the hype.
If we're taking Wandale and everyone's going to be on Achan, let's take Mostert at our other running back spot.
That is smart. Wow, man. Can you imagine Soccer Dave making a point that salient? I mean, just like literally no chance. All right. Let's see here. Let's see if we can squeeze Kelsey in. Well, actually, no. Let's play Hockenson in this lineup, right? As our
Who do we want to go?
Yeah,
we want to play
because
that.
you would think that most of them Mahomes teams will have Kelsey as the expensive tight end. That will be a low combinatorial spot, I would imagine. So let's go. I'll use Hockenson as my pick. Who do we like for a cheap defense do we like?
Well, we got
Rob's not gonna like this, covering. But I like the Cardinals at home versus Burrow.
Well, that's gonna be the chalk, right? I mean, that they'll be 20% or whatever. You don't think so?
Nah.
That was who I put. Leaking state secrets here, but that's who's in my cash shell right now on a Wednesday morning is the Arizona Cardinals.
Titans.
I think you could
like
do Steelers.
I was just gonna say the Titans D, and then you can get Chase in your flex. But whatever you guys want to do.
Titans D against Richardson feels pretty comfy to me.
Maybe you can't get Chase. Can you get Chase?
You can't, but we can play. Oh, this is actually a very
good range. Guys, hang on. I don't mean to. We should just get up to Kelsey. If Mahomes is putting up a tournament winning score, is it really without Kelsey? And we have the money here, and it's not like there's a huge opportunity.
Yes, absolutely it is. The way the Chiefs offense is running this year, we're talking like Noah Gray shows up with a touchdown, Justin Watson gets one, MBS, like,
but
they
those
are,
haven't
they are.
Been tournament winning. I'm saying like Mahomes hasn't, in those games, Mahomes hasn't been the optimal quarterback.
Let's just, I'm going to do a quick thinking on my feet. I'm going to look at Mahomes' career. Let's just pull up his six touchdown game against the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
You
can play Addison. If you go Kelsey, you can go Addison as the bring back instead.
Yeah. If we do Kelsey with the Addison bring back, that would be a relatively sexy lineup.
Let's do that then. I'm good with that.
And then you could get up to Saints defense versus.
Oh, perfect. This is actually a good team. This team's going to win the 5K Clay Matthews free roll.
Yeah, I think this is good.
Sweet.
This is actually a good team. I mean, the first good team we built all year, so it probably means it's going to be bad, but this is how you build a daily fantasy team, I think.
I like it. I might actually enter it in something as well.
It's the Clay Matthews free roll.
Yeah, well, we got to get in the Clay Matthews free roll. How do we not?
That's right.
All right. So I want to go back to the – can we go back to the Jets just real quick?
And yeah.
I want to hit on the Breece Hall and the Garrett Wilson thing. What about playing both of them without Zach Wilson?
Completely fine. Yeah.
I mean, I think we've started to see people play running backs with a wide receiver without the quarterback a lot more frequently, and it's actually winning tournaments. And I think people are still too scared to do a combination like that, like by the large field. So I think if you wanted to play Jets and you wanted to get unique with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, the way to do it is to play them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only wrinkle here is that Zach's so cheap, right? So that's part of it, is that we're now fading those two going off. And also the only $4,900 QB being relevant. So it's just a little harder to.
But can Garrett Wilson be in the optimal without a touchdown? I think yes. I think Wilson can get, 23 points or whatever without a touchdown, which would mean Wilson doesn't make it, Breece scores two on the ground or whatever. I actually think that maybe even feels more likely that the way Wilson gets there is actually like an insane volume game, but not via touchdown.
So
yeah,
I
don't think it's a bad idea too. If you're trying, you'd be able to jam in. I don't mind it either direction. I think if you go Zach Wilson, I do think I probably want a Denver bring back. Whereas I would have no problem just playing Hall and Wilson with no Denver piece.
Who's your bring back? Yeah. Samaj Perine?
No, I'm not touching those running backs with that three-way committee. I think it is just me.
I don't think Javonte is going to play. I think Javonte is going to miss this week.
With a hip flexor?
It's my guess on that's. I think my read is that they like this McLaughlin kid and they kind of want a reason to shelve one of the other two. Obviously they signed Perine before they realized they were going to get him. So running back is pretty interesting because Alvin Kamara is the number one points per dollar guy again early, but it's entirely based off of getting a literal unbelievable amount of checkdowns from a broken Derek Carr. We don't even know if Carr is going to play this week. We don't know if the game script is going to call for that level of passing. And it's not that Kamara looked all that good. I mean, he didn't look bad, but it's not like, oh my God, this is capital A, capital K. Kamara is back, right? And A-Chain is pretty fragile chalk too, because I mean the role is good, but if he doesn't score, I mean this dude's getting 87 yards and 3 catches, and you know, like it's very fragile chalk at the running back position, I think.
It's also been garbage time for him a lot in the last two games as well, which is definitely a possibility against the New York Giants.
But he scored a touchdown in the first quarter in both of the games. So it's like some of it's been garbage time. I mean, he had the 67-yard rushing play last week, but he has 2 first quarter touchdowns. So it's not like all garbage.
Yeah. I'm pretty scared of an A-Chan fade. I'll just be honest. Like what we're seeing from him already getting these green zone touches, this offense being so good. I'll be curious to see the ownership, right? Like if you're talking like 30%+, I'm like, yeah, I'm with you guys. But I think I'm still in even as like mid chalk because he's so damn good, and I just want to be out ahead of this stuff. Like he looks like Chris Johnson out there right now with how electric he is. He can absolutely bury you. He can end your week for sure in this spot.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'd rather play him than Kamara
for sure.
I love A-Chan. I have 20% of them on my best ball teams. You can arrest me if you'd like, but in a spot like this, if he is going to be chalk, Mostert just feels like such an easy pivot.
Yeah. Let's see here on the high end. I mean, Barkley feels a little overpriced coming back from injury, but people are going to like this matchup. Bijan continues to do Bijan things.
Bijan
Henry,
is the
quarterback.
Guy.
What do you guys like on the high end? Because this high end running back is kind of gross this week.
Yeah.
Bijan for me.
This feels like the Bijan week. This feels like the explosion week for Bijan. We were talking about it last night, myself and Bimefor, and I just think this is the week that they just unleash him as much as they can. And they're going to control the game against Houston, most likely. I love Bijan Robinson this week.
Tuttle. Yeah. Is Kyren Williams at $6,700 against the Philadelphia Eagles? Is it actually now... You know, Ronnie Rivers came in, played a little bit last week. Is actually Kyren just going to have this unbelievable role as like not that great of a player, admittedly, but actually not going to be that chalky?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
He'll still have ownership. My main takeaway is looking through this stuff right now. First of all, like Bijan a lot too. Kyren will be on around that 20% range would be my guess. But my takeaway here is get weird at the position. I mean, we're talking about a lot of guys that like don't make it move for me other than Bijan basically. So like when it's a week like that, then you just start getting weird, I think. What weird looks like, I don't know. Maybe you go back to the Pacheco well and kind of fade the Kansas City game that way.
Swift.
Do something like
Swift
that.
Swift is
or
the guy.
Like a James Conner type of thing. I know Conner's role's depleting a little bit. Like a Damian Pierce, maybe the trend up continue. Like they're all ugly options. They're all ugly alternatives. But the reality is the top end's really not that exciting either outside of Bijan. So I think it's a pretty clear week where you kind of just get away from whatever the public's doing.
Anyone want to play Jahmyr Gibbs with me?
Well, to the point that Tuttle was just making, everyone in the chat is bringing up David Montgomery, and that's why I don't want to play David Montgomery because
on,
everyone
guys.
Is playing David Montgomery.
Guys, we are, as a community, The Swolecast is better than this. The Swolecast is better than chasing the 32 carry, 3-touchdown David Montgomery game.
Well, I just said you want to play Jahmyr Gibbs with me, and you shot that down. So pick a side.
You don't have to play. You don't have to play either one of them. Gibbs feels too thin. Montgomery feels just
too
like,
fat.
I mean, he might get, you know, he'll probably get his 22 carries or whatever. I mean, they're big favorites this week. I don't know. It just like I would just much rather play DeAndre Swift. Like Swift is going to be the guy that I probably hone in on. $6,000, like good role last week, but not amazing. Although he did have 3 catches on their first drive, which that definitely did make a move. And he got the Eagles gave a goal line carry to one of their running backs. You know, that you got to take a note of that when that happens.
Yeah, I think going back, if again, barring whatever's going on with Jonathan Taylor, I'm still pretty skeptical that he's going to be suiting up this week. But I do think Zach Moss too, if you just want to play like that volume game, it's a pretty nice matchup, although blah, 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 run funnel stout stuff here. But I don't know, that kind of workload you're going to get at 5,800. It's a better workload than any other guy down there.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. In terms of like real vomit cheap guys, I don't really see one. I mean, Brees is just like a straight up good, really good play at 5,400, I think. All right, let's do wide receiver before we get Tuttle out of here to go work on Champions League lineups. Tuttle, Justin Jefferson is up to $9,400 DraftKings dollars. He was about 7% owned last week. The 26 points he got me was not enough when AJ Brown and Stephon Diggs both got 40. What are we doing with Mr. Jefferson this week?
Well, that's what it is now, right? Like any guy that's that highly priced, it's just like an opportunity cost thing. Yeah, he's probably going to smash. Yeah, he's probably going to put up 20 plus DraftKings points, but he needs what, 40 to 50 at this price tag to be relevant in large field tournaments. Yeah, maybe some of these smaller 40. Thunderdome type things, we can get away with like a 30 point game from him, but
Thunderdome, how rich Tuttle, we're more at the spy around here, buddy.
Well, I was just pointing out the differences here between large and single and smaller single entry stuff.
Double spy when we're playing real risky.
Yeah, you buy into the double spy with crowns. That's the secret. because then it's just like free. You're just free rolling the double spy when you buy in with crowns.
The issue, the big issue here too, is that this price tag, like, you know, he's going to be low owned, so that makes you almost want to play him. But it's literally what
happened to me last week, crazy. And my teams were shit.
Right, and it's like the payoff if he gets there is going to be good, but he has to get 40 DK points.
It's also like a two-way bet. Like, not only are you betting that he gets a ton, but you also are like hardcore fading AJ Brown, Jamar Chase, St. Yep. Brown, you know, like those guys also can't get 30, you know? It's like so I don't know. I mean, I'm not as the other thing is you feel like he probably will actually be more owned this week just because he is also in the highest total game.
He could, yeah. I think that's a fair point. I think he'll be fairly common just in those game stacks. Although fitting him and like Kelsey together is not going to be easy to do. My first run of aggregate optimals here, he's up to like 29% of the top 300 lineups. So I do think he'll still be owned, and some of that is again driven by we have Wandale Robinson for 3K, which we usually don't get. We have some other sub 4K receivers, which we usually don't get. So it is a week where we could see people pay up at wide receiver because again, running back too. Bijan's really the only appealing high end option there. So we will have money to spend at the wide receiver position, especially if we save at tight end. So I think he'll be fairly high owned, which in my opinion makes him a pretty strong fade.
Is Nico going to be popular?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because Stroud seems like a decent play too.
Doesn't the matchup just bring everything down a little bit though, in terms of like play expectations, play volume?
Yes.
Nobody wants to take guys against Atlanta because they just, you know, drag the game out.
Yeah, Nico's role has just been so good and he's earning so many of the targets. I mean, I just think if you know, if he was mega chalk, it wouldn't, it would make sense to me. And if he's not, I'm like, man, I'm happy to go back there.
Is old Tank Dell leverage on like a semi owned? I mean, you know, Tank did not have a reception last week.
Well, I think what you do is you just play CJ Stroud double stacks with Bijan or Kyle Pitts as the bring back.
No, we're done with the Kyle Pitts thing. Jesus Christ, he's 33. Never mind. He's whatever. So it's fine. It's fine. I mean, the thing is Pitts is just like not healthy right now. Like, which I would have appreciated.
Is that the new working theory that we're coping with? That he's not healthy?
All the beat writers are saying that now. Okay. Like they're saying like he's just like, you know, this knee thing is really hampering him. It's also Liam's big. I co-manage a high stakes team with Liam, and we have Kyle Schitz on it, and he's like, dude, we're playing Hunter Henry and Dawson Knox over Kyle Pitts until morale improves. Like, can't do it anymore.
Well, who am I to argue with Liam?
All right, Tuttle, before you get
out of here,
we need a terrible take. We need a terrible
take, Tuttle.
Well, I'll give a twofer here, because the projection our my lovely boss Dan Bach was mad about was, well, not mad. He just posts quality control stuff. There's an underdog and prize picks line out there on Luke Altmaier, Illinois quarterback. His passing yards, they have it set at 185.5. He wants me to come down on our projection. I think you slammed the over here, so that's your freebie for Friday night college football. Wow. And the terrible take is I think you play the Giants. I think you, it's going to be a so bad it's good type of play. You stack Daniel Jones with Wandale and Darren Waller.
Wow.
It's a so bad it's good type of payout for that.
You playing it? Do you get in a couple Dolphins there?
Yeah, you bring it back if you stack all three. Waller's kind of like, he's so bad. I was their two island games ago. Like, I was watching this because I just like jammed him. I was watching this guy. He's so slow. He just does not give up. Fuck.
The reason that's a great terrible take is because I cannot imagine spending $400 extra for Darren Waller when I could just play Sam.
Exactly. Florida. Exactly. Yeah. Just try to like remember the preseason takes.
Hang on. Don't ask me twice. I'll try.
and just hope it hits. So yeah, there's the so bad. It's hopefully a good terrible take of the week.
All right, we appreciate you, Tuttle.
Got to get Tuttle a drop for the terrible take.
Beautiful stuff. All right. Our fearless Champions League content producer, one Mr. Tuttle 05. Let's hop in the draft.
All right. Are we timing this or are we just doing it right now?
Don't do it, because I just hopped in. It was one person and I immediately left. So okay. To make sure we could get the same one here.
All right. Well,
okay. Now we do it.
Oh, to get a snap. Hang on. I could actually do simple math on this one.
Yeah. Do the math.
I think we're good now.
All right. I'm entering.
I entered.
Oh, I got to set rankings. I always forget.
We're waiting for it to fill, which I'm sure it already is.
I'm in. Oh, I definitely am in the wrong one.
Yeah, you're in the wrong one, because Rob and I are in the same one. This is
It's fine. I will. I can. Unlike Soccer Dave, I will very professionally comment on the strategies and the rankings on your guys's.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for this timer to go down, let's just remind everybody that we've got $1,000 in free entries to the Dog Bowl on Underdog. All you have to do is go to the giveaways channel on the Roto Grinders Discord, hit the party popper emoji, and you're entered. Sign up using promo code Grinders if you haven't, and get a $100 bonus over there. And you get one free entry for every four entries you play in this week's Dog Bowl qualifier. And as is tradition, I have the 109, because God forbid I ever have a top three pick in any Underdog contest on stream.
Yeah. And also, just to reiterate on that other promo, there's no opting in or whatever. If you do four Dog Bowl drafts, you'll get $50 dropped back into your account early next week. I think I did five last week and got that back. I'm going to try to get to eight so I get that $100 stimmy back. And because I got to chase all of our Deposit Kingdom friends to Miami. Our guy Chris G took down the top spot last week. Another guy in the Badge Bros channel took one down as well. So we're going to try to throw a party in Miami here in December. I got to get my ticket.
I would
Scott
like...
Smith, baby. Shout out to the Swolecast for the summer sessions of best ball. Banked 10K. That's weekly winners.
Nice.
Have either of you guys been close to a weekly winner sweat? I have not had a sweat.
Literally, not. Literally don't Absolutely have a not. Yeah, don't have a min cash. Don't that nothing. It's
I had so much Andrews, Lamar, and Fields Komet that I was like, all right, baby, let's check the leaderboard. I gotta be sitting pretty. No, I was not sitting pretty.
Well, you gotta have A chain, right?
Yeah. If I was firing in that, because I have 20% A chain, but that was like all drafts around the same point in time. So if I was doing weekly winners around that time, I probably would have had something halfway decent. But because I stepped off the gas on him in Best Ball Mania, I kind of stepped off the gas on him and everywhere. So,
well, it is. I mean, we all knew this heading into this contest based on the structure, but you have to have like the literal nuts. And like one thing when you review the players, it's you have to have like the very hyper specific set of combinations where you needed, like last week, what was interesting is there was a ton of teams that had both Komet and Andrews at the top of the leaderboard with one of CMC or Jefferson, but most of them had to have had CMC. And so you could just see real quick how like the machinations, and then you obviously had to have Achan on it too. So you need like four or five of the highest scores, and you need those to be perfectly clustered on the right team. Otherwise, you're just nowhere close.
This is an interesting spot, Coakley. Like, do you set yourself? Yeah. I mean, that because that is not a game you really want to be stacking, whereas you can see it with Miami and the Giants. Although, I mean, the shark has been jumped with David Montgomery at the 10th overall ADP here on underdog.com. What are we doing, guys? Enough. It's unserious.
All right, we're gonna set up some other stuff and come back to stacks later is the way I'm gonna play this.
What have you done so far in your draft, Davis?
It is not filled.
Okay. You know, hey, this is an overflow draft opportunity with noted influencer Davis Matic. Hop in.
No, I'm gonna take advantage of the offer that they're doing right now to do multiples of them and get a little rake back. So yeah. I think I'm gonna try and do like eight of them this week. I'm in a legal pick'em state this weekend. I'm going back to Kansas City for a bachelor party. So I'm just gonna be firing. I have been driving to Illinois on Sunday mornings to fire.
Seriously?
I mean, it's 15 minutes. That. It's 15 minutes away.
Oh, 15? So that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. But I go and fire some pick'ems on underdog.com on Sunday mornings.
I don't miss having to drive to Rhode Island to place my sports bets and stuff, which is what we had to do over here. Because Rhode Island, they do like this one sports book, which is governed by Rhode Island. It is the worst sports book that has ever existed in the history of man. So I'm excited that in Mass we can finally do some stuff over here.
It's so brutal. All right. So you started Devonta Smith.
Let's see the board, Rob.
Yeah. Well, let me make my pick and then I'll pull the board up. Since we're going to be
Pete, who did you take with your first pick?
I started with AJ Brown.
So that's sort of interesting because there's no way to get Hurts with him, right?
No, but I feel pretty confident that to the way these larger drafts work, I don't enjoy taking the elite quarterback in these. I want to make sure I'm getting a couple of the skill position players who can go for 30. So I don't mind playing it as an alpha AJ Brown game. And if I do want to kind of correlate this game, I could punt it off with Stafford later. But I missed out on Puka. Puka's not sliding.
I do love getting guys who, like, especially at this contest size, what, there's only 2,056 teams, right? Is that the math? Like, I love having, you know, multiple undrafted players in these, like guys who are like going to be like actually sub 20% owned or whatever in these contests, which I assume Stafford will be something like that. I suppose because that game is such a high total, maybe it'll be more like 50, but certainly he's not one of the, well, I don't know. Is he one of the 12 highest projected
quarterbacks?
It's
right on the fringe. He will probably go drafted because he's like QB 12 right here, or QB 11. So, All right, maybe I'll do our. It's not Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, but it is DeAndre Swift and AJ Brown.
I love that. Yeah, and you have leverage on our co-host here, one Mr. Rob Coakley.
I love getting leverage on our co-host. I will say, Rob, you are doing a nice homage to David Kitchen with your underdog balance here.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we fired about 10 grand into underdog over the summer, so I think I can let
it out a little bit.
I think we can let it sit at zero for a little bit.
Wait for those weekly winners checks to cash.
Also, I did have $50 in my account, so I did not get my promised ticket. So I am negative EV being on the Swolecast, which is happened last time, right?
Wow. Yeah. Well, you fired 150 Davante Adams list drafts this summer, so you're used to having the expected value of zero on your teams drafted on this website.
And yet we have a higher than normal advance rate because we know how to fade Davante.
We're not
Adams.
Calculating week four advance rates. I've seen this going around Twitter.com. Like, I'm advancing 38 teams on underdog and 52 teams on DraftKings. Like, we're not doing that.
It's just people who want to tell on themselves for drafting Adam Thielen. We got to let them do it, Davis.
No, Thielen's a mess. I feel very bad about calling Thielen dusty.
Talk to me in 8
times.
Weeks and you'll be seeing a very different tune. The Adam Thielen absolutely crushing, and the Panthers are out here on Twitter saying we're desperately in the market for a wide receiver. Right. One
Panthers, one of the worst run organizations on the planet, if they're trying to trade for a wide receiver one midseason this year. I just don't
understand. Come on, Chef Ricky. Let me get Sam Laporta, Chef Ricky. Come on, Chef. Cook up a cheap old Sam Laporta share for your boy Pete.
Are you trying? I mean,
I just think there's a pretty big tier gap at tight end after Laporta. It's like Laporta or Trubon.
You don't want Higby on this team for the leverage,
God damn
brother?
It, Chef Ricky. God damn it, Chef Ricky.
I don't even know what I want to do with my team. It's garbage.
Let's see here. Let's see here.
Yeah, this is an interesting spot for you.
You know what I'm going to do? I think I might just kind of start loading up on this game more, and I'm probably not going to play him in DFS, so we'll get a Kyren share here. Is that who you wanted, Rob?
Yeah, I was going to do the Kyren bring back for Devonta Smith on this team, but that's fine, Pete.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Isaiah, I would not be wanting to pair Mahomes and Pacheco, I don't think. What Trelegs just did that does not feel optimal to me. This actually, I'm just realizing this sets up for an amazing week in BRs because you can just draft the Mahomes team 150 times and wheel it with Rice, Valdez, Scantling, Tony, like whatever with your, like, because I bet those guys draft rates have got to be like sub 10%.
If I had 150 lineups, I would win too, Davis.
I'd win too. I mean, you want to talk about finding ways to go broke on underdog.com? I think wheeling 150 Mahomes teams with his various, you know, scrub wide receivers is definitely one of the ways to go broke.
For sure.
God, I want to
take Cooper Kupp, Coakley.
I wanted to, but I can't do it. I don't have the stones to take Cooper Kupp right now.
Isn't that really GTO? Because guys who are, oh, but it's, he's not listed as questionable, so you don't get a sub for him, right?
If he doesn't play, if he's inactive, you can sub.
No, it's not true. Only guys who are listed as questionable. If a guy's listed as doubtful or has any other injury designation, you do not get a sub for them. Only when they're listed as questionable. I looked at this last week because Derek Carr was listed as doubtful and you couldn't set it up so that you did I don't even remember who they played, but a Saint stack, and then have Jameis as your top replacement because he was listed as doubtful when you were drafting.
I'm almost positive that if Cooper Kupp is inactive, that you are not going to take a zero.
What is he listed as inside the draft applet right now?
A Q.
Q, yes, you do get a replacement, but if he was doubtful, if he was still on the IR, if he was on the PUP, whatever, you do not get a replacement. It's questionable only. Go look it up in the rules.
I will.
Maybe learn about underdog.com.
Well, last week, yeah, I was the unofficial spokesman, and then you answered the questions for me anyway. So I think you are the unofficial, unofficial spokesman now.
I love the yellow dog. GA007 says Davis is right. Most beautiful words in the English language. Coakley, what are you working on here? What is your plan of attack? Are you drafting Rashee Rice with your last pick?
I'm not taking Rashee Rice with my last pick. I have other plans for my last pick. We're going to take Zay Flowers.
Zay is definitely going to go overlooked this week.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Zay Flowers at all in the DFS stuff, but he is. I do think he is pretty good. The running backs in this format feel so brutal because you're mostly wanting to take a good quarterback early, but then like, you know, because this is Sunday main slate only, like the running back just gets real thin. I mean, you know, Raheem Mostert in the second round of these, like, it's like, what, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, the running back thing. I was just looking for running backs, and God, it is a waste. It's just such a wasteland.
If you don't get like one of the four guys, you do just, I mean, you do probably just wait, right? I mean, that's got to be the strategy, because what is the, you know, projectable difference between James Conner in this format and like Jalen Warren, you know, like 2 or 3 points? Certainly not a way to, certainly you would tilt the EV in the favor. Now, realizing that equity is a much different story, the James Conner team is going to realize his equity more often, but the round six, mostly undrafted running back teams are going to have better EV, I think.
It definitely feels like one of the weeks that going two running backs is suboptimal, but then the top three teams are all going to have two running backs and we're all going to cry is what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just the, nature of daily fantasy.
All right. So Rob's team so far here, Kirk Cousins, Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers, and TJ Hawkinson. I was starting to feel the QB squeeze, so went ahead and grabbed Tuttle's terrible take in Daniel Jones to pair with DeAndre Swift, Kyren Williams, and AJ Brown. Stack up that game and then play it through a rushing quarterback, a tale as old as time.
That is literally a tale as old as time. Just like stack up a game and then take the... Are people going to do that this week? Do people do Kansas City, Minnesota with Anthony Richardson this week?
I think so. I mean, that's what I did in my lineup last week, where I did Richardson and then stacked up the Bills Dolphins game and just took the discount on quarterback.
I like that. Yeah.
I almost did the Daniel Jones thing as well before I took Kirk Cousins. I was going to try to push it, which I think I'm fine with.
I don't want to you know, do the lusting after my non-co-host team, but Joe Donald 2 here is working on a Picasso. He's got the, you know, super high projected first round pick. He's got the running quarterback. He's got, you know, I mean, Saquon he's building on the EV of maybe zero there, but he stacks with Josh Downs, who I love. He does do the two running back thing. Again, the more uncommon construction. This is, I mean, obviously a team that probably scores 37 points and doesn't win anything, but the expected value there is really good. My guess would be a dog bowl sim would very much like his team.
Watch this, Davis. I'm about to win you back over, buddy. Start lusting over here.
Oh, wow. Oh, Peter, I've come all the way around, you know, on a half point PPR site, getting our short king, Wandale Robinson. It's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, look, if you don't have a 5'8 wide receiver in your fantasy football team this year, you're just not going to win. Yeah.
Short King summer isn't seasonal. It's a state of mind.
It is a philosophy, is a way to approach the world. No doubt about it.
I'm looking at team 3 and I don't think I would have taken Goff on that team. I think that is a team for this format that I would have went Zach Wilson.
You totally take Zach Wilson on this team.
Dude, Chef Ricky being on auto draft just first of all, he sniped Laporta for me on auto draft. Then he definitely should have taken Goff to stack with Laporta. And he comes back around and takes Tyler Higbee as his second tight end there. That's a tough scene.
All right. I'm going to play the questionable tag situation with Jonathan Taylor here. Because we're
very,
saying...
very intelligent. Who yeah. are you going to set as your top sub?
That's what we're going to have to figure out.
That people they don't think about the strategy, buddy.
What do you guys think about Jonnu Smith having a higher ADP than Kyle Pitts?
I think it makes me sad. And
it makes me so sad.
It just makes me not really like fantasy football, and it makes me think this is all an exercise in futility.
Holy shit!
What is the one piece of information so far that if you could go back and tell yourself in May for the season that you'd like to know?
Nakua. It's
100%. An easy one.
Or how about this? Let's even make it less like results oriented and just say load up on the Rams ambiguity, because that gets you on Kyren, Tutu, and Puka.
You know what? You know what's very frustrating is that I was so close to hitting an absolute home run, having my like number one tout of the offseason be like such a league winner, and I chose the wrong receiver. It's so at least I wasn't touting Van Jefferson to the people.
Well, that's what I keep, because I have a ton of Tutu as well, and it's like a pretty good consolation prize. It's not the scorching the earth absolute league winner that Puka is, but it's a nice consolation prize.
Peter, have you told yourself this copium yet, that actually Tutu is more likely to have like a totally unchanged role when Cooper Kupp comes back?
Yes.
Have you consoled yourself?
I have told
that
myself
yet?
That it does, and I don't believe it deep down inside.
I believe it. I believe that what I'm saying is true about the role, but I don't think it helps with fantasy points. Really.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah. Wow, Coakley is scrolling the F down right now.
We're doing the scroll. Look, we're trying
also,
to win
do,
this thing. We're trying
I
to
do
win.
I have a hard out here soon, so I can go record a podcast with one Mr.
Did your draft,
Kevin Cole.
Did your draft ever fill, Davis?
I told you I left. I'm just gonna do it.
Oh,
I'm gonna load up. I think I'm gonna do like five of these this week. I would like.
All right, it all comes down to Trell G's. I will select Kyle Pitts at 6'8" if he's here. I will do it. Someone make me not take Kyle Pitts.
Is he at the top of the queue? Is homeboy gonna auto?
No,
Jonnu's
at the top of the queue. He autos a tight end.
Autoing Jonnu Smith. It's one of the.
I'll just take
means...
New England Kyle Pitts if I can't get him and select Mike Gesicki.
Oh, New England Kyle Pitts.
So and all the red zone targets last week. People forget. All right, there it is. I hate you all, Kyle Pitts. In the
wow, show. Kyle Pitts.
Love to see it. Love to see it. All right, let's let this draft finish out. Then we'll run down our teams. Then we'll get out of here. But before we do, just a reminder: go over to the Discord for Roto Grinders. Go to the giveaway section. We're giving away a ton of tickets to this. All you got to do is click a button. You click a button and you're entered. That's it. So make sure you head over to the Roto Grinders Discord giveaway section. Let's run down our teams, Pete. I have on my team that I don't love Devonta Smith, TJ Hockenson, Kirk Cousins, Zay Flowers, Jonathan Taylor, and MVS for the bring back to the Minnesota stack. I don't hate it, but it's not great. Pete,
on
you have
My team, it's I used bad. My first three picks to build around this Rams-Eagles game with A.J. Brown, DeAndre Swift, and Kyren Williams. Then I set up a Daniel Jones skinny stack to our short king, Wandale Robinson. And legitimately, one of the plays that have kind of historically been good in Battle Royales is like the chalk wide receiver on DraftKings that doesn't
in DFS that doesn't get picked every time.
Yeah. So I do like getting that there against Miami. And then, of course, the ultimate way to just submarine a team, taking Kyle Pitts with your final pick, but I had to do it.
Fellas, I'm out. Coakley, literally 10 out of 10. No complaints. I mean, just unbelievable. I'm wondering if we can get you in as a full-time sub. Gold star play this week. Wan'Dale Robinson, enjoy your week, everybody.
MVS for me.
All right. Mine is... This one's cheap, but I'm just Puka. I do not buy the Cooper stuff this week. It's still the Puka season. Enjoy the discount.
All right. Did I freeze or did Pete freeze?
I think you did.
My bad. Well, anyways, we will catch you next week. Make sure you check out the Swolecast next week. Check Pete out on his channel. Check out Spike Week. Check out Hometown Ghost Stories. We'll see you next week. Peace.